Father God, I thank you for my little brother Andrew, that you brought him to Warragul many years ago as a youngster, and he went to this school here. And now that you're doing other things with him, Lord, you've taken him over to the US. Lord, we also pray for his wife, Lord, and his son. We commit them to you. Lord, we ask for their ministry. We ask for their family. We ask for today, as Andrew shares the word, that he would speak the truth in love. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I just want to read you some of the passage that Andrew will be sharing from. If you haven't got a Bible, feel free to grab one over here that you can take it home as well. This is from Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. He tells a parable about a lost sheep when there's 100 sheep, about a lost coin when there's 10 coins, and then he gets to the end of that, and he says this: "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I'll arise and go to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate."
Prodigal, excessive, extravagant, reckless. I guess I fit that pretty well. I am reckless. Yet I'm still restless, still hungry for something, anything to fill me. Even the slop I've been feeding these pigs seems appetizing. I'm just that desperate. I'm lost. Lost to how I ever ended up here. How all my fruit became famine before I even had a chance to gasp. I didn't think these feelings of pleasure and these so-called friends would be so flimsy. So far from satisfying. I'm so far from home. I feel like I'm filled with every kind of evil, greed, and depravity. Like I'm senseless and heartless, arrogant yet ignorant. I gave up a life beyond measure for a life beyond my dad's boundaries, and look where it got me. I traded my father's riches for these pigs. I am lost. Even before I left home, I was lost. My dad is good in all he does. He's righteous in all his ways, and nobody could say otherwise. And he cared for me, made sure I was in need of nothing. Even the boundaries he had for me fell in pleasant places. And I had the delightful inheritance, but I got tired of waiting for it. His discipline, his rules, his commands, I just tolerated it all until I got his money. But it wasn't coming my way fast enough, so I demanded all of it now. He said, come, let us reason together. I said, get out of my way. He said, what fault did you find in me that you would choose this way that leads to death? I said, get out of my way. He said, my grace is sufficient in all things. I said, get out of my way. But now I've come to my senses. I'll go back home where there was at least food instead of slop and people instead of pigs. I mean, there's no way my father will accept me as his son, but maybe if I just act sorry enough and behave a little better, he'll let me stay as a hired hand. I don't need a dad anyway. I just need a place to stay. Father, I sinned against heaven and I sinned against you. Father, I sinned against heaven and I sinned against you. Father, I sinned against... Who is that? Dad? Dad! Dad, why are you running? Like, you never run! And how do you still recognize me? I'm filthy. I'm stained. Why are you hugging me? Like, don't you get it? I've sinned against heaven and against you. Why are you showing me so much grace? This robe and ring, they don't belong on me. Why are they on me? What? Celebrating? Why would you celebrate over me? I deserve to be a slave, but I guess I've always been your son. I didn't even finish apologizing and you've forgiven me. I'm forgiven. I'm home. I'm found. I'm not fixed, but I'm found.
All right. Yes. Now you can hear me. Sorry, ladies. Okay. Now I'm going to be super loud and freak you out.
Mothers.
If I was to describe our time so far, it would be Hollywood to homelessness. We literally, I was on a plane the other day. We had an emergency landing because the windscreen of the plane shattered. That's always a bad day. Managed to pray with a guy next to me and share the gospel with someone on the ground. So that was good. This guy literally comes up to me and says, I thought I was going to die. What are your thoughts about life after death and all that? And I'm like, well. And I just happened to have a Bible as well. So I gave him a Bible, said, read that on your next plane trip because it might be your last. But just, it's been amazing. So we land the plane and there I am. Have you ever seen Blood Diamond? You know, the guy who finds the diamond, the African dude. He was on my plane, we were just hanging out. Tried to talk to him. I think he wanted to punch me in the throat because he really wanted to get to LA and he was stuck in Albuquerque, New Mexico with me. I managed to share the gospel with a celebrity the other day. I don't know if you've ever come across someone that you despise from the moment their image hits your eyeballs. That's what happened with me and this celebrity. He was standing in line at the airport and he was like, had his little man bag, and he just looked at everyone like they were scum. Like, I can't believe I have to line up and go through security with you plebs. And I didn't know the guy, but I immediately started hating him. That's very Christian, very pastor of me. And then I remembered the verse that says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So then I'm like, all right, I'm going to pray for him. So I'm like, God, I just pray for this dude that I want to drop kick in the head. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that if you want to use me to like reach him, that'd be awesome. No joke, half an hour later, I'm sitting down having breakfast with this guy, sharing my testimony. It's been amazing. It's been an amazing experience. But on the other extreme, we've also been sharing the gospel with a lot of homeless people. Homelessness in LA is absolutely everywhere. It's just crazy. If you've ever been to LA, you'll know what I'm talking about. Under almost every bridge, at almost every intersection, there is someone asking for help. And one of the things I know about Australia is we don't really like asking for help, do we? I don't know if that's just Australia. Maybe that's the world. I was walking along the street the other day, just a few minutes from where my wife and I live with our precious little son, and I came across a girl, and she was sitting down, and she was holding up a sign, and her sign said, please help, I need to get a flight interstate, you know, but what really hit me was this sign that said, please help. And this girl was 24, she was a brunette, she looked a whole lot like my little sister, who's also 24, who needs a bit of help at the moment. And I found myself standing there looking at this girl, and I walked past her, not once, but twice. And I walked past her and I went, man, she needs help. Like, she's even asking for it, which is a rare thing. And over lunch, as I was having lunch, I said to my wife, I just want to go back and talk to that girl. And I sat down next to her. And, you know, for the first probably 5-10 minutes as we were talking, she still held her sign up that said, please help. But then after a few more minutes, she actually put her sign down and she just chatted to me as a person. And I was able to tell her how much God loves her. I was able to pray with her. I offered her a flight interstate. Said, my wife and I are more than happy to pay for you. She wouldn't take us up on the offer, but we got her phone number and sent her a text, and she was just so blown away. She was like, wow, you would do something for me and you don't even know me. And I was able to say again and again, you got to understand, God loves me so much, why would I not love you with the same love that I've received? And she was just blown away as she sat there and she asked for help. But you know what the moment was? When she pulled the sign down, because it was almost like the sign was like her mask, the sign was like her shield, like I'm a beggar. And then when she put it down, it was like I'm a person. And the moment that she pulled her sign down is when I started telling her a little bit of my story. One of the most powerful things you can say to someone who's in crisis, someone that's struggling, is just two words, and that's me too. And I said, oh, me too, hey, like I've been in a place where I so need help. Some of you would know my story. You would know that at the age of 19, I was depressed and suicidal and a total alcoholic. Some of you would know that at the age of 27, I was so proud that I actually thought that I could kind of add to what Jesus had already done on the cross. Some of you would know that I need help. I got a massive sign up saying, I need help. And I reckon some of us also have that sign up, whether we would ever show it or not. There's something going on in here that would say, I need to admit that I need help. And I was a bit of a prodigal. I was a bit reckless. I remember one night walking into a bar and saying, I'll have 15 bourbon and Cokes, thanks, and then just slamming them all in one hit. I don't remember much else for that night. I need help, hey. I don't know where you're at, but I know that in my life, I've constantly settled for second best. I constantly settle for second best, and I want nothing but the best. I spent last night hanging out with a friend whose wife's just left him, and we sat and we prayed and we chatted, and it was kind of heavy. But I just kept encouraging him. I said, just believe for the best. And maybe I'm crazy, or maybe I know a God that can do anything. Maybe both. But I'd love it if we could look at the story of the prodigal son. We've kind of heard it in two different ways. So I'll just give you a little bit of a paraphrase, because you've read it out of the scripture. You can turn to it if you want in Luke chapter 15, I do believe. But this story is a crazy story. It mirrors my story, and maybe it also mirrors your story. But this guy went, yeah, I can kind of do it on my own, didn't he? He was like, I reckon I can grab the money and I can go and live it up and I can do it on my own. And yet he realizes, as some of us still need to, even those of us that call ourselves Christians, he realizes that he cannot do it on his own. He so needs the grace of God. And this guy just totally blows my mind. He's in the pigsty. Have you ever been in the pigsty in your life? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just your mental state where you're at. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your finances. Whatever it is. And you find yourself in the pigsty and you go, how did I get here? He finds himself in the pigsty and he goes, I would have been like better off as a servant. Like, as a servant, I would have been better than this. And here he is going, I'm going to come back and I'm just going to be a servant. And I just want to say just three brief things, because I reckon we've heard the parable kind of twice in two different ways. So I just want to give you some application in the parable. And the three things are this. The first thing is this. You have to admit that you're in the pigsty in whatever area that God might be speaking to you in. You actually have to admit that you're in the pigsty in order to then realize what you need, the grace of God. And the second thing is this. You have to let go of your servant mentality. You got to let go of your servant mentality. I don't know about you, but I think it's very easy to go, I don't deserve the best, especially when you've stuffed up in an area. What I mean by that is, say for me with my wife. So 19, I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, I'm being a total idiot, and I went, well, I've stuffed this up. I better settle for second best when it comes to like a future girlfriend and wife and all of that. I couldn't dare expect God's best because I've kind of stuffed up. And you just go, it's like I'll shoot for the stars. Like when you're younger, you're like, I'll shoot for the stars. I'll shoot for the stars in ministry. I'll shoot for the stars in a relationship. I'll shoot for the stars in whatever it is. And then because you kind of didn't hit the stars, you reset your sights and you go, I'll just aim for a high cloud. And then when you don't hit the high cloud, you go, I'll just aim for a low cloud. Look, even just a low-flying bird will do. Like, I'll just, you know, I don't want to go for the best anymore. And I believe that there are some people in this room, specifically in the area of ministry, in the area of dreams and the things that God's put on your heart, visions and desires, that have decided that they won't go for son, they'll just settle for servant. They won't shoot for the stars, they'll just settle for like a low cloud. And I know for me, when I was screwing up my life so bad, before then, I always want to be a preacher, I want to be an evangelist, I want to see heaps of people come to know Jesus and all that. But when I was in the pigsty, as I was screwing my life up, I went, nah, that's never going to happen. I'll settle for journalist. I'll just become a journalist. I actually did journalism for 3 months. Oh, what a waste of money. Now I've got a huge hex debt. But I shot for the stars and it didn't quite happen. I remember calling all these pastors saying, I want to be your youth pastor. And they all said no. And I shot for the stars and I just didn't quite hit it, so I settled for servant. And I want to say to you today, you've got to let go of your servant mentality. Maybe, just maybe, God is waiting for you saying, I want to fully restore you. I want to fully give you what I put on your heart. I want to fully, you know that's the scripture that says, east, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed your sin from you. I had a revelation the other day, the world's round. Some people just took notes, like, the world is round. That means east and west will never find each other. And that's how far your sin is gone. It's gone. He can fully restore you. He can fully use you. He can do amazing things with your life. But you've got to kind of recalibrate and go, I'm not going to shoot for servant anymore. I'm going to shoot for son. So the third thing is this. The party is better at home. So come home. I'm going to pray for some people in just a minute, but I really want to encourage you guys. God's best is always the best. Pete and I had a chat on the phone I think it was yesterday, about this parable of the prodigal son. And it's so interesting that he had the best, but then he went wandering looking for something else. Then he comes home. And as we were talking, we actually went, I reckon he actually probably was better off having gone through what he went through, standing back at home. Like, he did a full loop. But you know what he experienced during that loop? He experienced the grace of God. And there's something so amazing about the grace of God. When we taste that, it is not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. So I want to pray for some people today. I believe that there's future missionaries in this room, and maybe God spoke to you before about this, and you just kind of let it slip. You went, oh, I've stuffed up. I didn't do this course, or I didn't do that, or I didn't, you know, whatever. So I'm just going to settle for servant, just shoot for a low cloud. Like, you know, maybe I can just reach my local community or whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But God spoke to you and told you to go on the mission field and you haven't done it. But I'm too old, or now that I've got kids. But God's still speaking to you and he's saying, would you go for son, because I'll give it to you. But isn't that amazing that this prodigal son comes back and says, I just want to be a servant. And the dad says, no, my grace is so much bigger than that. You can be son. There's future missionaries in this room. There's evangelists. There's people that are believing for some of their friends to come to know Jesus, and they haven't come to know Jesus yet. Keep believing that God's got the best there. There's some people in the room that don't even yet have a relationship with Jesus, and you're kind of going, well, I'll just settle for like checking him out, but maybe God's saying, no, 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 I want you to be one of my sons. There's future pastors, church planters in the room, and God's speaking to you, and you know it, and you just have to come home, and you just have to take your place at the table. Isn't it amazing? He was fully restored, fully restored. Can I pray? Can we close our eyes? That'll be sweet. And what I might do is I might get some music on if I can. We're going to sing a song in a minute, but just want to put some music on and just spend some time with God. Just spend just a moment just asking God, God, what is it about what I've heard today that maybe you're trying to speak to me? Ask him what it is. Ask him what he wants you to do about it. Lord God, would you just speak to us right now as we just still ourselves before you? We can hear all this information, but it means nothing if we don't do something about it. And your word says to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And we've heard a whole bunch of stuff. We've heard stories. We've seen videos. All that's happened, and that's great. But what are we going to do about it? I just pray that you'd speak to us right now. Oh no, just going to pray for two groups of people, if I can. Just keep your eyes closed, just so you can just. This is just between you and God. And the first group of people I'd love to pray for is people that are saying, you know what, I've never actually, like, come home. Like, I'm not a Christian. I don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I want one. And if that's you today, I'd love to pray with you. I'd just love that opportunity to pray for you if you're not yet a Christian. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand if that's you and you're saying, I'd love to be prayed with right now. It might not be anyone, it might be everyone, I don't know where you are with God. But if you don't yet have a relationship with God and you're saying, today's the day I want to start a relationship with God, I'll just get you to pop your hand up right now. No one's looking around except for me. In those days, the second group of people I'd love to pray for is people that, just as I've been speaking, you know, just saying this, saying that, whatever, there's been all these human words, but God's actually used some of those words and he started speaking to you and he's saying, I want you to remember the promise that I gave you. I want you to know that my grace is enough for you. I want you to be fully restored. I want you to come back to take your place as a son or a daughter of God. And if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. I'd actually love to pray for you individually. So if that's you, I'm actually going to ask you to just to quickly slip out of your seat and just come to the front. Everyone else is just going to sit and just spend some time with God, just praying and maybe thinking about what God's asking them to do. But if that's you and you're saying, I want prayer for that, I want to do what God is asking me to do and just to be restored, just to receive his grace, then I'd love to invite you just to slip out of your seat and I'll just quickly pray for you and then you can slip back to your seat. I won't pray over the microphone. We'll turn the music up and you can come forward and I'll pray for you. So let's just spend a couple of minutes doing that. Love to pray for people. And then we're going to see Amazing Grace. We're going to go and eat some awesome food and do something with maybe what God's spoken to us about. So in your own time, just pop forward and I'd love to pray for you. These days, barren fields will sprout trees.
Death raised again to breathe. Wipe them.